Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth in today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Rejoicing. Today's message is based on Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. So let us open with prayer. Oh God, your constant love reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness extends to the skies, your righteousness towers like the mountains. Your justice is deeper than the sea. All find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundance you provide. You are the source of all life, and in your light we see light. So thanks be to you, our Father. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. And then beginning with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this is desert. So Philip arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning. He was sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? He said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, who does the prophet say this of himself? Or of some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to the man. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So today is a special day in the life of our church. And in the life of the greater church. We have accepted a young man into membership as he has studied, been tested, and affirmed his faith to become another disciple of Jesus Christ. For this, we should all be grateful and rejoice. This is a great moment. For today's lesson, I have chosen another one of these great moments of conversion, discipleship, and growth in the faith of Jesus, commanded in the message of Philip and the Ethiopian. First of all, who was this Philip? We actually know little of this, other than what we read in chapter 6 through 8 of the Acts of the Apostles. Some traditions give him the title of apostle, but he was actually the first of a new office in that church, a deacon. Now again, traditions use this word differently, but I will stick to what we are told from chapter 6 where the word is first used. This is the very early church, after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, and like many new organizations, it was struggling. The church had grown rapidly, and the more people you have, also the more problems. And going to Acts 6, 1 through 7, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the words of God spread, the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now of these seven names, two stand out, Stephen and Philip. But notice the requirement Peter set for these servants of the church: good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. These were just good, rather ordinary people who were close to God and Jesus. They had a heart to serve. No doctors of theology or master degrees, just good people of faith. Peter kind of says that they were to deal with the needs of the people, said in serving tables. And in many cases, this is where it ends. But both Stephen and Philip go well beyond this. Immediately preceding our selection today, we have one sentence in chapter 8, verse 1. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. This follows the martyring of Stephen. The priests were pleased they had found a way to stop this growing group. Saul begins persecuting the faithful. This explains why Philip was in Samaria. Like many others, he had left Jerusalem, but he had not abandoned Jesus. So Philip, led by the Holy Spirit, was not content to wait tables for Jesus, but to go out into the world, a hostile world, and share the good news. Philip left his comfort zone. He did not seek a safe place, but ventured into the jaws of Satan. The gift he had to bring was simply too great to go to waste. We now go to our selection today with an angel commanding Philip to arise and go to the south along the road. This is desert. It's not stated in Scripture, but honestly, Philip had a choice. Maybe a nice family was taking care of his needs. He had a bed, 3 squares a day. The neighbor who was a nice one, the people were friendly. And this is a journey of about 65 miles on foot from an inhabited place to the desert where it was barren. So what would you do, and what did Philip do? And from verse 27 it says, he arose and went. What we do notice here, however, is that Philip probably would have never thought of going to the desert road to preach. Who stays in a desert road that he should preach to men? If you have a message, you go to where there are people, and not to some place where you might go days without seeing anyone. Well, there might be nobody there, but God knew better. And he commanded Philip to go there because an Ethiopian eunuch was passing by. And in verse 27, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury, he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. So first, a few definitions. What is a eunuch? When men were selected to positions of responsibility, their allegiance to wife and family might get in the way. So they were emasculated. They were fixed, so they could not have children or even care about women. This way, you could be more sure of their loyalty. This man held a high position. He was in charge of the treasury and reported directly to the queen. The name Candace was more like a title like Queen Mother, who ruled in place of a minority son until he reached the age of his own rule. However, this man of great responsibility to royalty was entrusted to go on a long journey alone, but likely with a military escort for safety from bandits. So what was this man doing as he rode along on a rather long journey, sitting in his chariot? He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, Ethiopia was not a Christian or Jewish nation at this time. It was pagan. It was likely a higher level of civilization than most would think. This man had many things against him. He was Gentile. He was a foreigner. He was of much different appearance. And for the observant Jew, a eunuch, which was considered unclean because it required the body to be physically deformed. So why is this man reading Isaiah? Now, to acquire a copy of any part of Jewish scripture would be difficult and expensive. Isaiah is one of the larger books, so a larger expense. Did this man buy it for his queen or for himself? That could be either or both. At this time, there was a great hunger for a true religion. People were not happy with the many gods that were petty and arrogant. Judaism was witnessing growth through the seekers of a better life. They liked what they saw. Here they found actual moral standards that gave life meaning, something lacking today in our world. And going to verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go overtake the chariot." Remember, Philip is walking and the eunuch was riding, but likely a slow rolling along in more of a cart or a wagon than a true chariot. Remember, there were armed guards as well. And this crazy man, dressed simply, goes running up to the chariot. Sounds to me like a real good opportunity to get your head bashed. This does not sound like a good idea, yet Philip obeys. The next verse continues, "So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?'" Obviously, the man was reading out loud, or Philip could not have heard him. Also, I doubt the Ethiopian naturally spoke Hebrew, so this was a learned man who could speak multiple languages, since Greek would have also been required at the least. Now, Isaiah is my favorite Old Testament book. It has more prophecies of the coming Messiah than any other, but it is these prophecies that can seem very vague and not clear. The Ethiopian was making a sincere effort to understand what this other religion was all about. Often I am asked, which book of the Bible should I read? My immediate answer is all of them. But that seems overwhelming to most. Genesis is so long and to many seemingly fanciful. The Psalms are great reading, but you need background. Proverbs are good, but they're really not spiritual. Isaiah is complicated, but it offers great hope as well as background to our relationship with God. So really, there is no easy answer, but why not start at the beginning with "In the beginning"? And then going to verse 30, he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch, someone of great authority under the Ethiopian queen, would probably be knowledgeable about most things. He would likely be a man of intellect, since he would require it to manage all the queen's treasury. But his intellect was not enough to make him understand scripture. Thus his words, "How can I, unless someone guides me," should make us all think. As Christians, we were commanded by Jesus directly. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The great commission given to us at the time of Jesus' ascension back to heaven is well known, but it's also greatly ignored today. Philip was not standing waiting in the desert for a handout, but to carry out this commandment, as we all should be. Some of us might think that since a person reads the Bible, he automatically understands it and is saved. Perhaps. Some might think that the person isn't saved yet, but reading the Bible is enough. Wrong. If it was that easy, there would be no need of church or Sunday school. We would need only ourselves to quietly read and absorb what is in the book. Brothers and sisters, we need one another in spiritual community to grow our faith, to find correction and clarity, to to provide support to one another in the good times, as well as those that are more troublesome. And going now to verses 34 through 35, the eunuch answered Philip, I ask of you, whom does this prophet say, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, and a very specific verse of the passage of the coming Messiah. This passage is part of the fourth servant song of Isaiah. This was immensely important as to the nature of Jesus. That the Ethiopian was having trouble is that the suffering servant songs are all contrary to normal human nature of those who are considered great. It is far more natural to speak of grand events of a man's life when promoting him to the world. But to say that the one chosen by God would have to suffer and die would be a completely foreign concept. That the Egyptian just happened to be reading this passage at this time, just as Philip, who had witnessed much of this, and he was an evangelist for Christ, just happens to be alongside of the road at that precise moment. If you have ever been totally confused about a subject and someone makes it all clear, then you have a true moment of revelation. And this was a perfect opportunity for Philip, and he didn't waste it. And Philip opened his mouth. He preached Jesus to him. Now think about this for just a moment. Philip had no idea what this man was doing, who he was, what he was reading. Yet Philip took the opportunity to preach Jesus. Philip's message was cast on fertile ground. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now we know that the eunuch was seeking God. He just didn't know how or why. Then a man just shows up, is able to explain to him all. Can you imagine the joy of having your questions answered and being shown the way to eternal life? Philip did not have to prompt the answer from this man. This man knew. How quickly and with what certainty would you have answered? This was not because Philip was a wonderful, head full of hair and shiny white teeth, marvelous preacher. It happened because the Holy Spirit was in control of the entire situation. What did it require? It required a willing and open heart to hear and find God and a heart of servanthood with trust in God and the fullness of belief in Jesus Christ and the Son of God. But you may say, how will I know that the circumstances are right for me to reach out to someone? The short answer is you will not know, just as Philip didn't know that when he climbed into the wagon. He's with a man who is far down the social scale of Jewish life. Philip trusted that he was there for a reason. It was simply a God thing. And we close our selection today with verses 39 through 40. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found back in Samaria. Philip's job was finished. This was a beam me up, Scotty moment, for God had worked for Philip elsewhere. Many believe that the eunuch was responsible for beginning the Ethiopian Christian church that continues yet today. We can only speculate how many souls he saved with his word, but it was incomplete. I don't know how, but feel sure there were many more trips to Jerusalem. Tradition says that Matthew and Andrew spent time in Africa, so maybe one or both were able to continue the work there. We are not told by any reliable source, just legend. But there is still a thriving church there. All because one man was seeking God, one man was willing to trust God. So what are some of the key points of this passage? One, God doesn't see in people what we often see. God doesn't look at skin color, not at nationality or culture, not at our sophistication or scholarly platitudes. God saw a man with an open and willing heart, and God knew what could come from him. And then there is Philip, not one of the 12, but a good man. But he didn't have any certificates or degrees, but a man of servanthood to our Lord. A man who trusted and was willing to do the impossible for Christ. And from Romans 10:14, how then shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Think here not as a person who wears robes and stands in front, but a person who knows the Scriptures and is willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only the few are called for this duty, but all of us. We may find ourselves at the mall, gym, school, or even a Tupperware party. With our sister-in-law, we really don't get along that well with, or along a dusty desert road, meeting up with a perfect stranger that is quite different from us. We must learn Scripture that we may be somewhat comfortable in sharing it with a degree of confidence. Most importantly, we must have faith and trust that God will be there with us. Today we received a new member into the body of Christ to join with us, and we should be rejoicing. We also must not keep waiting until everything to be perfect, under our complete control, before we act. Now this book is called the Acts of the Apostles, not just Acts, but the Acts of the Apostles. It was based not on theory, doctrine, or feelings of the apostles. For God to be glorified, His people must act. We must go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The church grows out of faith and belief, and not by will of man. When God wills it, it will happen. Go and seek God's will in all areas of your life. Amen. So let us close with the benediction. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of our message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, those who know it best. Same hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell and His love, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.